Memorial Day long weekend stateside, and more than 45 million Americans are on the move, about 39 million of them driving, according to AAA, and some were off to the movies. I'll get to that in a moment. In California on the West Coast, the Pacific Coast Highway reopened for the first time since that devastating Palisades fire back in January. So that was a big deal on the coast. And at the beaches, there were shark sightings along the East Coast. Drones were flying overhead to spot them on Saturday in order to warn beachgoers. And from Texas to Alabama, they had storm and tornado season roll through. Oklahoma, Memphis, all dealing with severe weather threats. And like I said, at the box office, families hit up theaters to catch the new CGI live-action reboot of Lilo and Stitch. It was big at the box office, number one. And others checked out the eighth and what they're calling final installment of the Mission Impossible franchise.
The Final Reckoning is the number one action movie in the world and has audiences cheering.
Well, that's one mission accomplished.
You'll never see a movie like this again. Mission Impossible.
I have to admit, I saw this at the Kramer IMAX theater with my family, and it truly deserves to be seen on the IMAX. A good 45 minutes or so, the action scenes were shot totally with IMAX cameras, so you are immersed in sound and screen because that screen is so large and it's so loud. It's just awesome. The underwater sequence you occasionally see in the trailer or the biplane scenes alone are worth the price of admission in this one here, too. And yeah, after nearly 30 years, they say this franchise is coming to a close with this latest movie. I don't know if that's true or not, because the ending certainly invites the possibility of a sequel. And this movie has a lot of nods to the past, too. You don't have to have been with this franchise from the beginning to enjoy Mission Impossible. But there's no denying that it was made for those of us who were. And I hope it's not the end of Ethan Hunt's character. But if it is, the last two movies leave me immensely satisfied with the end of the franchise, if that's the case. It was terrific. Side note, I hate long movies. 90 minutes is perfect. 2 hours is great if the movie's great. But this one is 2 hours and 45 minutes. And truth be told, I had a ginormous tub of popcorn, large drink, and I held off from going to the bathroom the whole movie because I never felt there was a moment I could take a break. I was too worried about missing anything. But big thumbs up to the Mission Impossible movie. And you got to see it on the IMAX, though, to really appreciate some of those glorious scenes. It's a pretty remarkable movie, that's for sure. Not a great weekend for communities fighting wildfires. There are currently 20 fires burning in the province. 10 are not contained at all. Apparently, both the big fires in the Candle Lake area were started by the exhaust of someone's ATV and the dry brush. Man, you know what? We've seen that last year, this year already, in the country, roads, you know, someone driving by throwing out a cigarette butt or something. You just got to be mindful. It's as much as it feels like we've had a lot of rain, some areas have not, and it's just so dry out there. But hope you had a good weekend. I know the garden centers were busy. In my neighborhood, you either heard the buzzing of a mowing lawn or kids ripping up and down the streets on their bikes. And the Cathedral Village Arts Festival, again, last year they had 40, 50,000 people. They must have at least had that over the week again this year. It was packed on Saturday. And next up, it's Mosaic, June 5th through 7th. And the city spray pads have opened up on the weekend. Kids, they gave a big review on those.
I like it.
Running along with my friends.
And there's, like, holes in the ground that spray water. And there's, like, things that you can turn and they spray water.
There's a dragon that's spraying water out of its mouth.
I like the mist on the dragon's tail.
Running around with my friends.
Would you come back?
Yes.
The grass is greener, the tree blossoms look awesome everywhere, and Kevin Martell joins me now from the 980 CJME newsroom. Do you have a green thumb, Kevin? Were you busy in the garden or planting plants yet?
No, probably should have this past weekend, but no, that got pushed aside. Other things.
Well, what could possibly have taken greater consequence than getting out and enjoying the backyard.
Did a couple stops in the hop circuit.
Oh, yes. Yeah. A local craft beer tour. Yeah, how was
patio,
that?
Patio. Good. It was busy, too. A lot of people I found do when they do that. There are a couple giant groups of probably about 10 to 15 people on their bikes.
Yeah.
And they just kind of went all around to all these different places. But it seemed like it was a perfect weekend, mm-hmm. pretty well for, you know, for a patio drink. So, it was
awesome. Yeah. And you could see a lot of people in my neighborhood just out enjoying the fresh air. And there were a lot of, you know, the brown cartons of bedding plants being taken out of trunks to the backyard. It seemed like the garden centers were a lot busier this weekend here, too. So, wildfires. Now, our day could be a little hazy because of wildfire smoke. What's going on?
Yeah, and things have really kind of taken a turn over the last number of days in northern Saskatchewan. Candle Lake area, so, you know, not too far north of Prince Albert, but Candle Lake, a number of structures have burned. We're talking about a number of cabins, 23 campers and trailers, a trapper's cabin as well. So we're now seeing destruction. We've been telling you about wildfires in that area for the last couple of weeks. A gusty wind really helped fan the flames and make things a lot worse. You're seeing a number of communities that kind of along southwest of LaRonge, a number of smaller communities have to leave. They have to be evacuated. So we're keeping a close eye on this morning.
Okay. And of course, today in Ottawa, Parliament digs in a little. Today, the first step is what? A House Speaker they need?
Yeah. So they really get down to business tomorrow. Of course, you're hearing a lot about the King's speech. But yeah, first day, they have to basically select in secret to do the secret vote on picking a new Speaker of the House of Commons. Of course, a lot of the leaders will look different. Mark Carney's actually there now that he is elected. Pierre Poilievre is not. It'll be Andrew Scheer representing the Conservatives as their leader, at least for now. And the NDP also, remember, Jagmeet Singh resigned. And so they'll have a BC MP that is going to be representing them, Don Davies.
And tomorrow, yes, the King, and you will hear it here live, will read the speech, which has only been done a couple of times before.
Yeah, only three times, as we heard from Ralph Goodale, actually, had just updated us on your show not too long ago. But yeah, the first time since, what, the 70s that we've actually had the monarch come and deliver this speech. So it is certainly something that we haven't seen in pretty well half a century. And so I think it's very important. You don't see it very often. The King and Queen arrive in Ottawa later today. They're going to be doing a couple of visiting a farmer's market, dropping the puck on a road hockey game.
What?
For the King as well. So he'll be doing that to kind of get things going. They're only here for 2 days. It's not like they're coming west at all, so we will not see them here in Saskatchewan. That's the plan, but yeah, something a little bit different.
Okay, and the Riders, a bit of a snooze fest. There were really no touchdowns. It was a lot of field goals, but fans didn't seem to mind.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess it's preseason, so your expectations are a little bit. It's not in this, obviously. You know, people know, fans know. It's not whether you win or lose. It's how does the team look? How did Trevor Harris look? You know, how did the defense look? It's more about just kind of getting the feel again, getting that pace up. We play Winnipeg again at home on Friday, and then that's it. That's it for the preseason.
Get going next week for sure. All right, Kevin Martell, thank you so much from the 980 CJME Newsroom. Incidentally, the Riders had their season ticket open house on Saturday, and by all accounts, the lineups were long. And some season ticket holders, not too impressed. Others were. A bit of a mixed review on that. My neighbor is a huge Rider fan, season ticket holder. She was telling me about it, so I'm going to get her on my show a little later on here to give a review of how it all went down.
I'm so in love with you. Whatever you want to do is all right.
Sliding into a fresh work week here and back to school with lots of blue sky and sunshine. And other than the haze, perhaps a little later on here, we're just going to continually heat up day by day and work ourselves toward 30 degrees in a few days from now. But it's looking green out there. The trees are coming alive. It's a nice time of the year, that's for sure. Hope you had a good weekend. King Charles and Queen Camilla are set to touch down in Ottawa later today, kicking off the Royals' first visit to Canada since the coronation a couple of years ago. And today the two will attend a community gathering in Ottawa. They're going to plant a ceremonial tree. They're going to meet with the Governor General. And then tomorrow they will arrive by horse-drawn carriage and deliver the speech from the throne as Parliament resumes. He will be only the second monarch to do so. Usually it's the Governor General. The King's mother, Queen Elizabeth II, read the speech in 1957 and 1977. And for some insight into the significance of King Charles' speech, I'm happy to be joined by High Commissioner for Canada and the United Kingdom, Ralph Goodale. And Ralph, thank you so much for being here, sir. Was that you that just dropped the King off the airport to make sure he gets here on time?
Yes, I did. He left this morning from a Royal Air Force base just outside of London, and I was there to send him off, along with Corporal Colin Paul of the RCMP.
Awesome. Well, I mentioned a second ago how the Queen has given the address before. You were at one, a young MP at, I believe, 1977. That's the one you were there, and I mentioned that because you probably have the best insight into what it's like. So what are we expecting today, sir? Or tomorrow, I guess, when he reads.
There's a lot of ceremony involved, but it really is the pinnacle of the performance of our system of democracy. A new parliament has just been elected. There's a new prime minister in place, a new government in place. There's a minority parliament, and the government is going to lay out its agenda for dealing with the important issues that are before the country right now, both domestically and internationally. And the head of state lays out that agenda. It's written by the government, obviously, but the head of state is the one that delivers the speech. And on this occasion, because of the importance, the historic significance of this occasion, that speech will be delivered by the King himself. And I think that indicates the fact that he's making the special trip to be in Ottawa for this specific purpose. It underlines the importance and the significance of the occasion.
Definitely. Mr. Goodale, the King is reading this speech, obviously the request of Prime Minister Carney. Do you think he asked the King to do this with our sovereignty in mind on purpose to help really send a message to the rest of the political world?
Well, it's an important occasion in itself, as you pointed out. It's rare when the monarch actually does this in person. This will only be the third time in Canadian history. The world is a turbulent place these days. There are economic issues around the world. There are geopolitical security issues around the world. This is a message of reassurance. It's a message of strength and support. It shows that our system of democracy in a free, independent, sovereign country is functioning very well, and that is an important message to send both to Canadians who need that reassurance and to the rest of the world for anyone else that's watching.
Ralph Goodale, a former Liberal MP right here in Regina, now Canada's High Commissioner to the United Kingdom, is my guest. Sir, you were with the King last week, as I mentioned, at Canada House. What would we be surprised to learn from those moments that you share with the King?
Well, he was obviously, as he always has been, very interested in Canada, very supportive of Canada. He's visited the country 19 times already, but this will be the first visit as head of state, as the reigning monarch. One of the things that we did at Canada House last week was to lay out a huge map on the floor, which was provided by the Royal Canadian Geographical Society. And we showed the juxtaposition of the two countries. Canada is 40 times bigger than the United Kingdom. You could put all of the United Kingdom into the four corners of the province of Saskatchewan. In that space, we have about 1 million people, and in the UK, they have pretty close to 70 million people. So you get the sense of the difference in size, the difference in density, the difference in distance that is intrinsic in how the two countries feel and go about their daily lives. But he was very interested to see all of the places laid out on that map where he has previously visited, in big urban centers and far-flung rural communities, indigenous communities. He's been to the far north. He's been as far south as Canada goes. So he was just getting a sense of where he's been already, and where he will be on this trip and on future visits to Canada. This one is very short, so he will be coming back in the relatively near future. That's always difficult in planning royal agendas, but they're already looking forward to the next visit to Canada, when they'll be able to spend more time and travel to more places and meet more Canadians and show that tangible support for Canada as a country they really love.
Well, Mr. Goodale, I sincerely appreciate our chat. And as the King arrives, slowly but surely here, I bet you're going to arrive sometime this summer, because you got to wander and check the green and white out again here in Regina, don't you?
Yeah, I guess that game last night was a little tedious. but good luck to the Riders. Green is the color. You know, there is, they call it football here in the UK, but it really is soccer. There is a soccer team in the London area, Chelsea, that has stolen the Rough Riders song. you know, their color is blue, and they sing about blue is the color. Well, it just doesn't ring well with anybody from Saskatchewan.
I'm going to set up a meeting between you and Sarah Mills, our provincial news director, and she might want to argue with you on this one here, but nonetheless, Ralph, it is a pleasure to have you on the show this morning, and thanks for representing us as Canada's High Commissioner to the United Kingdom.
Glad to do it. And green is the color.
Evan Bray is here for a preview of what's to come at 8:30. I hope you had a good weekend. I see you went home on the weekend.
Yeah, I did go home, do a little bit of grass cutting out there as well. But notice the crops are already coming up.
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't been that long that the seeding has been completed, and already you're starting to see it that
rain. Don't you normally help your brother seed?
No. I'm a harvest guy. Yeah, oh, okay. That's right. Yeah, no, I don't usually get out there for that. But
excellent.
Yeah, it's looking good out there, though, for sure.
Yeah, no, and, you know, fun times for Roy. Oilers fans, I think you and I are heading back to a game 6 or 7 in Edmonton.
I'm always scared to text you
in the Stanley Cup.
I'm worried you're going to say I'm jinxing it, but I did text you during that game yesterday saying, man, Skinner was looking great that.
Evan, have you seen me concerned at all during this?
No, you've been very cool.
I've been adamant, and
even when
happen,
I picked the Kings to beat the Oilers in the first round,
that was a mistake. It'll be the Oilers and the Panthers and the Stanley Cup.
Yeah,
you and I went to Game 6 last year. I think we'll do it again this year.
What?
Yeah. Well, I hope so.
Yeah, like,
remember last year we even got in the green zone. We phoned the green zone up. You might have had a few too many pops.
I was going to say it wasn't me. I was the one that was the.
It could all happen again. I'll ask Jamie and I to make it happen. And he's joining me later.
I think Jamie should get us on the green zone more often, regardless.
Well, that was probably their most entertaining show they ever had.
Ratings were up that day.
Yeah, they extremely were. What do you got to make ratings go up, pop, pop today on the show?
Well, we got lots of different things. We're starting off Monday morning coffee with Mr. Wayne Brownlee. This guy has done it all when it comes to potash in Saskatchewan. So I was able to work at an event with him a couple of weeks ago in Saskatoon. I'm happy to have him join us on the show. Of course, we're getting ready for the King's visit. We'll be carrying that live tomorrow morning. So we'll have some stuff on that as well. Roundtable of Justice today. We're wrapping up Mental Health Month. We're going to talk about some of the work that's being done and the reason why it's needed to be done when it comes to the mental health of emergency responders. That's on the show. And actually, I heard you had Tim Iannone on the other day.
Iannone's Footwear, 65-year-long business.
Yes, incredible. He's
always remained within the family.
I know. It's an incredible story. He's a Canadian certified podorthist. You know what that is, Greg?
Podorthist. It's nothing to do with my diet, so I got to think it's my tippy toes.
It's got everything to do with your feet. That's right. So we're going to talk to him. What does that actually mean? And why is taking care of your feet so important?
That's got to be the worst job ever. To have to look after someone's feet.
I think Tim loves it.
Yeah, well, no, I mean like shoes. Yeah, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think of, you know, clipping nails and,
Greg,
and all that kind of
I'm
stuff.
I'm not bringing that onto the show today.
Well,
this
is
about shoe fitting.
Yeah. Are you at the point of your age where you go get a pedicure like that?
No.
Like get your toes done?
No, I've never done that.
Oh, you should.
Why?
You should. I've not, but I know a lot of men that do. Because they don't want to hack their own toenails with a saw like my uncle used to do. He used to use a hacksaw on his big toenail. It was disgusting.
You've really taken this conversation off the beaten path.
I know. It was all about you, and now it's all about me. And we're out of time. See you back at 8:30.